This is the Freeman Report with your host, James Freeman, on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello and welcome to the Freeman Report. My name is James Freeman. I'm your host for the next 2 hours here on TNT as we approach the end of what has been another eventful week. There's lots of them, I think, at the moment. It is Friday, the 3rd of May, 2024, and I've got a fantastic show lined up for you to finish the week on here on the Freeman Report. My guests today are British actor and comedian James Dreyfuss, who starred in hit TV sitcoms in the 1990s, such as The Thin Blue Line as Constable Kevin Goody and Gimme 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 as Tom Farrell. Now, James has been on the Freeman Report before, and last time he was on, we spoke about the madness of censorship and cancel culture in broadcasting. Since then, I do feel that James has become more outspoken online, particularly on gender ideology, using his comedy and dry wit to pick holes in the trans ideology being pushed by activists. My sense is that James, like many in the lesbian and gay community, is not happy about the way that gay rights, the whole movement, has been hijacked in recent years by trans activists. So we'll be talking about that. And also, I've got a few questions from my wife, who's a big fan, in terms of what he's working on at the moment. So I've got questions on that as well. After that, I'll be welcoming Germany's capitalist superstar, Rainer Zeitelmann, to the Freeman Report for the first time. Now, I don't get many German guests on the show. Maybe it's a language thing, but I've only had a handful since I started the show. So given the changes that are going on in the country at the moment, I've got a long list of questions for Rainer, like, what is the state of the German economy at the moment? How is the economy faring after a series of disastrous energy policies that has left the country paying huge sums of money to get the energy it needs to power its manufacturing base? What is going on in terms of immigration? As the latest figures show that immigrants now make up 20% of the German population after the country has welcomed millions in recent years. And what is happening in terms of climate change politics and policies in Germany? Are Germans on board with the whole net zero drive in Europe, particularly given the fact that EVs are the new commodity, the green technology that is being pushed? And I think it's, I don't think I'm wrong in saying that consumers are turning their back on EVs at the moment. And of course, the German auto manufacturing industry is a huge part of the economy in Germany. Then in the second hour of today's Freeman Report, I'll first of all be speaking with CIA veteran and whistleblower Pedro Israel Orca about exposing what is going on with the intelligence agency around the world. And then to finish off the week here on the Freeman Report, I'll be asking Tommy Robinson for his solution to the Islam problem that he says that we have in the UK. Because while I get where Tommy is coming from in terms of his stance on a number of issues, I do have a problem with how he goes about getting his message out. Because like it or not, there are around 4 million Muslims living in the UK, many living in our big cities. Tommy says he doesn't have a problem with Muslims. He says that he has Muslim friends. So I wonder if he understands that the way he goes about getting his message out creates resentment and hate towards the Muslim community, even if he says he doesn't have a problem with all Muslims. My main question to Tommy will therefore focus on what solutions he's got to the problems and issues that he highlights about Islam. You know, and what is his message to all of the Muslims in the UK that are not involved in grooming gangs and other crimes that he highlights? So lots coming up on today's Freeman Report. Now, before we go over to our UK news correspondent, Gemma Cooper, for today's breaking news, I would like to talk a little bit more about this Anti-Semitism Awareness Act that has gone through the US House of Representatives and is currently in the Senate. Now, the claimed purpose of the act is to ensure that Jewish students and Jewish communities feel safe in America. But is that really credible, given that laws already exist to prosecute people who harass and target people from a particular community? However, the really crazy thing about this bill is that it doesn't define anti-Semitism, even though that is what the bill is about. It instead refers to a definition put forward by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. In essence, the legislation outlaws something and then goes on to subcontract out to a third party to define what that something is. The Act says nothing about the definition of anti-Semitism. It just says it is whatever the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance says it is. Examples of anti-Semitism are also subcontracted out to whatever the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance says they are. Again, they are not mentioned in the bill itself. Now, the crazy thing about this is that I'm not going to read it all out, the IHRA is not a US government authority, and yet it is being given the power to define US law on speech over American citizens. Worse than that, the international, IHRA, otherwise I'm going to get all my words twisted, is an intergovernmental body run by 35 countries that includes Israel. So effectively what this bill does is give the power to regulate speech of American citizens to a foreign entity that is unaccountable to US citizens. And that is putting aside the fact that Israel, yeah, the country in question, will have a say over the speech, the legality of speech about itself by Americans. Absolutely shocking if this becomes law, which is why I will be following the progression of this bill through the Senate very closely in the coming days and weeks. If you want to get in touch, please email me at jamesfreeman@tntradio.live. And if you're enjoying the show and appreciate what we're doing at TNT, then please get yourself over to social media. Give us a follow, me, James Freeman, and TNT Radio, and help us spread the word about all the great stuff that TNT is doing. My name is James Freeman, and this is the Freeman Report for today's News Talk, TNT.
The facts, no spin or agenda.
Not enough with the lies, we need the facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, over to our UK news correspondent, Gemma Cooper, for today's breaking news.
Well, it's the election that continues to dominate. It's not gone well for Rishi Sunak. These are the local elections, although one ministerial seat was up for grabs in Blackpool South, and that's gone to Labour. It was Conservative previously. It's a string of defeats coming in now in the local elections for Rishi Sunak. Although in the last hour, we have heard that the Tory mayoral candidate for the Tees Valley has actually held on to his seat. So something of a little bit of a lifeline. That's one of the first mayoral election results to come in. We won't know about Sadiq Khan's result for his London mayoral seat until probably tomorrow, so we can talk about that on Monday. It'll be interesting to see what does happen to Khan and how the people of London have voted. But the results trickling in, not great news for Sunak. And of course, Keir Starmer demanding a general election, as the opposition, who's done well, would of course do in circumstances like this. Also, another university today, another protest, a pro-Palestinian protest at another British university. University College London students have occupied the ground outside their main building in Bloomsbury this morning. Security have been called. The university says it's monitoring the situation closely. Latest in a string of UK universities mirroring the actions of students over the pond in America. We've got Leeds, Newcastle, Manchester, Sheffield, Warwick, Swansea, Bristol and Goldsmiths all having their own protests, pro-Palestinian protests, and University College London now has added to that. And the UK comedian Dane Baptiste has been dropped by his talent agency and reported to the Metropolitan Police over an anti-Semitic post on social media, threatening apparently an unnamed female comedian, a death threat. He's since apologised and removed the Instagram post, but his talent agency have dropped him, and the Metropolitan Police have confirmed they are investigating.
Right. OK. How big are these protests around UK universities, Gemma?
The one I've taken a look at, the one at UCL, and it's not a great huge protest yet. It could grow. The weather's not brilliant today here in parts of the UK. It's quite wet and cold in some areas. That might have a factor. That's well known in protests. Weather does make a difference. It's about a dozen or so tents. Students say they've camped out there last night. They slept out there. They've got a series of demands. They say they don't like the university's stance on the war in Gaza. They find it disgraceful. But they're not massive. But there's a show of solidarity. And certainly UCL students today, University College London, said they have been directly inspired by the actions that they've seen American students take. So will they get bigger? I don't know. It could be a fad. I'm not questioning that their beliefs, but they're not massive. But they have the potential to grow. Certainly one sprung up and then others in their wake. And today we've got UCL as the latest. But not huge scenes, but universities say security is there. They're monitoring everybody's student passes. If you're not a student, you can't walk through this area, which normally is open access. Public can just walk through. It's the grounds opposite the main building. But that at the moment, if you haven't got your student card, you can't get through or out.
And Gemma, what are the demands of the students? Because we've heard, Michael Gove talks a lot about wanting to bring in laws to stop councils and government bodies and things like universities from boycotting Israeli companies and products. And that was one of the things we've seen in the US, some of the protests there demanding that the university changes its policies on things like that. What are the demands of the UK protesters?
They are saying they disagree with their university's stance on the war. Let me just find my notes here on this one. I've got so many different stories up at the same time. Here we go. They are expecting more people to show up today, and they're calling on the university, UCL, to divest completely from companies complicit in genocide. So the same protest echoes of, don't do business with Israeli firms. The students say that they've heard nothing from the university about that particular demand, and they will continue the protest for as long as it takes for them to stop, doing business and buying products. I think they might be referring to some Israeli software companies as well, if I'm not mistaken. I have seen that story doing the rounds. So maybe on that demand, they might get more support, because one thing people don't like is not being listened to. And that might garner a few more to come out and say, well, we're paying thousands of pounds in fees. Listen to what we're saying. That may be something that makes sees this swell. Obviously, they say they camped out there last night. As I say, the weather's not fantastic at the moment. We've had a very wet and cold April, which is also leaching over into May. You wouldn't believe it was spring in the UK in some parts. It's probably one to watch with interest, as maybe more of these will spring up over the next few days and into the weekend. We might be looking at more universities next week, inspired by action in America.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how the politics of this play out, because, of course, in America, it's become very, very divisive. They've broken up a lot of the protests now based upon the fact that they were saying, look, they were causing disruption. I wonder what would have happened if it was a BLM protest that was going on there, or a protest for a different cause, whether the same thing would have happened. But it has become very, very divisive. I've had a lot of people on this show, and I think the sort of message coming out from those who are pro-Israel is, look, Jewish people have been attacked. They don't feel safe. Are there any signs at all yet? I guess, first of all, is anyone pointing out that any kind of similar things like that in the UK protests here? And I guess, is there any comment from any politicians at all?
There's no comment from politicians today. UCL spokesman says, like many other universities, this is the university's words, a small protest with tents is taking place in our quad. We are speaking with organisers, carefully monitoring the situation. They say they will manage it in line with our legal duty and commitment to promote freedom of speech. Then they're saying within the law and ensuring the safety and security of the community, the usual kind of things of what you would expect a university to say. Interesting, though, that security is there and not letting anyone in or out without student ID, when it is actually technically a public thoroughfare. So clearly they don't want it to escalate. And they want to monitor who's going in and who's going out. But that's the only comment we've had. Most politicians today are sure looking at the local election results with either despair or glee and wondering what it means next. But we might see if these get bigger, we might well see more politicians either claiming for more restrictions, which is what many are saying. We have all these protests, or demanding the police just go in and stop them all. Who knows? Let's see what happens with these.
Yeah, like I said, it will be interesting because the politics here is very, very different than in the US. Although clearly Israel has got a lot of influence in the UK, both main parties basically refusing to condemn Israel, even though I think probably most people agree that it's pretty reprehensible what they've done there. It's totally out of proportion, the whole conflict. So it will be interesting to see what's happened, because, of course, in the US, we've now got this new bill that's being put through, which is essentially closing down pretty much any criticism of the Israeli state. You know, there really is a danger of encroaching on free speech there, because I don't think there's anything wrong with criticizing foreign governments for killing tens of thousands of citizens. Anyway, Gemma, you'll be with us if you've got an update on that that situation in the second hour. We can talk about it then. Thank you very much for that, Gemma Cooper. Right, OK, we're going to move on now because after this short break, I'm going to be joined by British actor and comedian James Dreyfuss. So don't go anywhere. Stay right where you are, right here on TNT.
TNT's Alex Zaharoff-Royd.
Chuck, when it comes to AI, there's a lot of talk about how AI will take people's jobs. And there's also talk about whether AI art is real art or not.
Will it take jobs? I think it's going to streamline jobs. You know, I think people, we're going to have a bunch of dinosaurs that sit there and go, that's not art. We're going to have a bunch of people that go, that's not a way to write an email. But the fact of the matter is, I just finished this task in 30 seconds and it takes you 5 minutes and a coffee. Like, who? Like, there's somebody that's going to hit the finish line first on that one. So I think it's important that we streamline the BS. You know, let's get all the call centers, all of the government, all the regional, all the BS that we need to deal with. Let's put that into an AI model. Thank you very much. Every Centrelink visit, realistically, should be happening through an AI LLM for these. Like, let's get rid of that. Free up some humans to do better human things.
Talking Tech with Alex Zaharoff-Royd on today's News Talk, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's News Talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. TNT.
Good for fans of justice and truth.
Today's News Talk. TNT.
Right. Well, I'm absolutely delighted to be welcoming my next guest back to the Freeman Report. He has been on before, but we didn't get to see his lovely face then because that was before we went video. I am, of course, talking about the fabulous James Dreyfuss, British actor and comedian. Welcome back, James.
Yeah, you're going to regret the video very soon. You're going to be grateful that all you had was my voice before. It's lovely to be back.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Very well. We've got a bit of an unwell dog at the moment, but apart from that, so I'm a bit housebound. But aside from that, all is well over here.
Yeah, now I do want to talk about House of the Dragon after the break in a moment, because I've got some questions. My wife is a huge fan, so she's given me a list of questions to ask you.
Oh.
But before that, have you finished filming now? What are you actually doing at the moment?
At the moment, nothing. I'm on a break. I just finished doing a film over in Belgrade and Montenegro, which is like an American thriller. At the moment, you know what it's like acting. You can be out of work for a year, then you can be in work all year. So it's, you know, you just got to wait and see what happens. So, but thank goodness last 2 years have been all right.
Yeah. And I guess you've got lots of time at the moment because I see you have been quite active on social media at the moment, which I think, to be honest with you, I think I love your posts. You always put in a bit of comedy, a bit of dry wit into the points you're making. I do follow you closely on X. Now, James, let's talk about some of the things that you talk about on the platform. So you've got a great post, I think, which kind of sets out your position on this whole trans ideology that seems to be being pushed at the moment, which is pinned to the top of your account. I wonder if you wouldn't mind just describing what the post kind of says.
Well, for a start, I don't really refer to it as trans ideology. I refer to it as gender identity, gender ideology. And my issue has always been with the radical activist side of this group. I have plenty of transsexual friends who support my stance on this, and they are equally attacked. So I don't refer to it as a trans ideology. To me, it's the gender identity and the queer theory that I'm against. But I know the one you're talking about. I'm just going to get it up. I had to do face recognition. Wait a minute. Okay, go ahead. I got it now.
Yeah, tell us what the post is, because I think it describes very, very well, I think, potentially, I think, how a lot of people feel within the lesbian and gay community.
Yeah. Well, it's really my personal observation of what I went through, being a teenager in the 80s, I remember sitting in my bedroom on my bed thinking to myself, I can never, ever tell anyone this, because it was at the time of the HIV crisis, in the papers, people being outed. Remember Rock Hudson, you remember Freddie Mercury and the way that they were treated. And I remember thinking, yeah, I can never tell it. And this is just my my views of what happened once Stonewall added all these other letters. Now, you could make an argument for transsexuals being on there. You could, absolutely. But my point is that actually we're talking about people who are same-sex attracted, is LGB. The rest, I'm sorry, I don't include non-binary in there. You can't come out as non-binary. It elicits nothing more than a shrug. You can identify as being non-binary, completely up to you. That's fine. But I find there are an awful lot of demands that come along with it. When people say that this is exactly the same as the fight for gay rights, it absolutely isn't, because no one was impinging upon the rights of other people. And that's what's going on at the moment.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I mean, it is very, very, very different. And actually, you know, when you speak like that, James, and you say that, you know, you made a promise to yourself, I can never, ever admit that I'm gay. It's amazing how far we've come, really, isn't it?
And it's brilliant. And it is good, because actually now it shouldn't be, it really shouldn't be that much of a problem. That's the positives. But now you've got a lot of people who are suddenly saying, well, I'm aromantic, which means, you know, I'm only sort of attracted to people and then I won't sleep with them in the afternoon. And these are just feelings. These are normal feelings everyone has. But it's been decided that, no, there'll be 78 flags or 98 or whatever it is at the moment. And each little feeling you have has a name and a flag. Now, you can't come out as pansexual, really, because people will just go, good, all right, well, I'm very happy for you. Wonderful. Live your life, be pansexual. But, you know, back in the day, nobody walked around saying, I'm androgynous. You either were androgynous or you weren't. There was no names. There were no names for it. And what the names and the labels have done is tear us apart. Instead of, I was always promised by Stonewall that one day you won't be known as, because, you know, I used to be known as openly gay actor because I came out quite young. And I always used to think, oh, God, I just want the day to come when I'm called an actor. That's it. Because being gay is so unimportant, really, frankly, in my life. It's the least interesting thing about me. I don't care. We were promised that by Stonewall. And we've been completely betrayed. Completely betrayed. We've now got more labels than ever, more division than ever. Homophobia is rising massively, particularly from the radical activists. We're in a mess. We're in a real mess.
Yeah, I mean, that's the irony that I see here as well, James, is that, you know, you see this hate speech law coming in Scotland, and the politicians are saying we need to strengthen hate speech laws because hate against trans people and the gay communities, lesbian communities is rising. But the irony in all of this, I think, is that I think the reason, if that is the case, if we are seeing more homophobia, is because actually, of what is going on, this activism and this the fact, because like you, James, I think most people don't give a monkey's who somebody sleeps with or what they do. It's when the activists insist that you over there have got to change your way of life, or you women over here have now got to go into toilets with men, or whatever it is, whichever issue, you know, telling because of this small community over here to make us all inclusive, you've got to change your way of life and your way of thinking.
Absolutely. And, you know, you've only got to see what's happened to Pride since 2014, where, you know, actual gay people and lesbians and bisexuals are hounded out of Pride. You've only got to see the behaviour, the vandalism, the aggression, the screaming. And worst of all, the worst thing that they've done, the one thing that they've shot themselves in the foot is involve other people's children. You know, we spent years and years and years and years fighting for this right that if you were gay, you were a paedophile. You know, they went together like, you know, tomato sauce, cheese on a pizza. And we spent years getting rid of this ridiculous notion. Now suddenly they're talking LGBTQ and there's forced teaming and you can't go, oh, actually, I'm not under this umbrella. You don't speak for me. You don't represent my views. I don't think four-year-olds and three-year-olds are non-binary unless you've told them they're non-binary. It's rather like saying I've got a vegan cat. Well, no, the cat is vegan because you're not giving it any meat.
Yeah, very, very. It's really simple when you put it like that, James. Now, listen, James, I will say thank you because you, like J.K. Rowling, you know, you are speaking out. And I think it's really important. Do you think that there are lots of, well, I mean, I think there are probably lots of gay and lesbian people who think like you and who are angry at the way this is all unfolding. Do you think more are starting to speak out now about this? Because up until this point, we've not really heard much from, I guess, that traditional gay rights movement.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are groups springing up here. There's the LGB Alliance. There's the Gay Men's Network. There's Human Gay Male. There are lots of these different groups where people are finding each other and realizing, oh, do you know what? I'm not alone. I'm not going mad. You know, I just want to go back to how it was. We had a brief period of about 10 to 15 years of relative calm. And, you know, we'd been building and building and going through all the hate and anger and the horrible deaths and the women that helped us through it. We're now, I think, the LGBTQ bus is completely abandoning women. Everything they've done, the way they've stood for us. And I think now, and that I'm not saying that all trans people are like that. Of course they're not. And by the way, I'd like to know, when you say trans person, who are you talking about? Transsexual, transvestite, cross-dresser, trans-identified, trans-mass, non-binary? Yeah. Not, who are you talking about? Because they're all very different. This is why it's important to focus in on the radical activists who have basically scared everyone to death. Look what they tried to do to J.K. Rowling. Look what they've done to anyone who dares to speak out. You know, they take people to court because the punishment, the process is the punishment. This is why people don't speak out, because they're worried. And especially in my profession, you know, it's madness. It's hard enough getting a job without all this.
It is madness. I'm going to end the conversation on that topic there, James, because I think, look, I, like you, wish that it would all just go away and we can just stop talking about it. Because what people do in their private life behind closed doors, we really shouldn't be talking about it all the time. We shouldn't be defining people and communities that way. It's just ridiculous. James, we're going to take a short break now, and when we come back, I'd like to talk about House of the Dragon. I'm not sure how much you can tell us about that, but I have got a few questions from my wife, and she'll be really disappointed if I don't ask them. So we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back in a second.
All right. Great news.
The news.
We have news.
Great news.
Great news. Great news.
Great news, my friends.
Yeah. Listen.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Elon Musk has agreed to reinstate controversial commentator Nick Fuentes on X, asserting that it's better to allow contentious views to be openly debated rather than suppressed. London Drugs, a retailer with over 80 stores across British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba, is working to restore its operations after a cybersecurity incident forced a shutdown 5 days ago.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Right, James, I spend a lot of time on social media, and I did read a couple of rumours that you're actually going to be featuring in House of the Dragon, which I think has just been filmed. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, I don't know whether it's been announced yet, because they announced casting in stages. So I'll probably get smacked for around the wrists for saying it, but I have, yes. So, and that was, that's quite something else to be a part of, really. It's extraordinary. I can't say too much about it because I know they're very strict on anything, okay. But I can say it was extraordinary.
Can I ask you a couple of questions? And if you can't answer them, then that's fine. I've got more questions that you can answer. But my wife wants to know, are you team black or green?
I can't say that.
You're probably not going to be answering my next question as well. Are you part of one of the traditional houses? You're probably not.
I can't say that either. You see, she knows her questions because these are all very specific. What I'm not allowed to talk about.
Bless her. Right. Okay. James, obviously, this is a huge, huge series. It's the prequel, isn't it? What's it been like to work on something which has got such a fanatical following?
Well, look, I'm only a very, very small part in it. And there are lots of us, you know. It's quite intimidating because it is a juggernaut. I mean, and I'm not used to working on juggernauts at all. I'm really not. So I found it quite scary for the first. But it was rather like going on stage for me. I got very nervous, and I don't usually get nervous filming, but it's quite overwhelming and quite extraordinary. And I saw a little bit of it the other day, and. It's remarkable. And not being very au fait with dramas such as this, it's a revelation to me because I didn't even realise programmes like this were made. Game of Thrones completely passed me by. It was a wonderful insight.
Yeah, and what would you say is the, from where you sit, what's the state of the British sort of filmmaking and broadcasting industry at the moment? Because, of course, a lot of this stuff is actually being filmed in the UK now, isn't it? Even if it's actually, you know, the money and the sort of the logistics behind it is coming from the American networks. I mean, it is a lot of it being filmed in the UK, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. Yes, I think it's predominantly here. But like I said, I don't mix in that world, so I know very little about it. I mean, the state of British film is, it's been better, of course, but there's still some wonderful movies being made. It's just harder to get them made unless they're on Netflix or HBO or Amazon or one of the streaming things. As for terrestrial television, what they used to call terrestrial television, I mean, it's, with one or two notable exceptions, it's diabolical.
Yeah.
Diabolical. There are some great dramas. I'm not talking about dramas. I'm not talking about documentaries. There's some wonderful things. But as entertainment-wise, it's astonishing.
To be honest with you, James, I don't think a lot of people watch much terrestrial TV anymore.
Don't they?
Those days are gone.
Do you reckon? I watch, terrestrial television because I still think it is something. I'm obviously way behind, but then I'm not very technical. So if something doesn't work on, streaming service, I'm like, oh, I'll give up on this because I don't know which other buttons to press to get out of it. So I don't know. I like I said to you, I'm not really part of the whole acting world. I don't go to any functions and I don't hang around in those circles. So I'm possibly the worst person to ask about this.
Okay. And what next, James? What next?
I can't really say. There is something.
Okay.
But I can't say, I can't talk about it because I've had to sign a non-disclosure agreement. So I wish I could give you more, but I can't.
That's fine, James. I'll tell you what, make a promise to me then that when you can talk about it, you'll come back on the show.
I will. I promise you I will. As soon as they say, yeah, go on, you'll be the first to hear.
Fantastic. James Dreyfuss, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming back on the Freeman Report, James.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I look forward to coming back and spilling beans.
Okay, fantastic. Brilliant. Thank you, James. Right, we're going to take a short break now, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about the German economy with author and proponent of capitalism, Rainer Zeitelmann. So don't go anywhere. Stay right where you are, right here on TNT.
People might tell you that Lyme doesn't kill people, but we are losing people. People disappear from their lives.
One of the scariest things that I had to deal with was memory loss. Not just like I don't remember what I did last week, but like I forgot all the words to my own songs. I remember going to my primary care physician and he was like, you are 100% healthy. There's nothing wrong with you. And my response was, that's impossible. I'm dying.
I wasn't working. I had all of these hospital bills. We had to move out of our home and move into my parents' basement.
I just wish I could have truly been present in those big moments, you know, when she took her first steps or, you know, her first day of preschool. Lyme is such a thief and it goes undetected because no one is looking for it.
For more information and prevention tips, go to projectlyme.org.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go, but I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there, providing hot meals, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding.
To learn more, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Asthma is a growing problem, especially among children. Asthma affects the quality of life for millions like me every single day. My name is Chris Draft, and I have asthma. And I've spent more than a decade in the NFL tackling asthma on and off the field. Join me in the EPA in helping people control their asthma. Asthma is a lung condition that can be controlled through medication and by avoiding things that can make it worse. 3 steps are the solution to controlling asthma. Step 1, talk to a doctor. Step 2, make a plan. And step 3, get rid of things that can make it worse. Asthma can be tackled. For more information on asthma, log on to epa.gov/asthma.
James Freeman on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Right, now, I don't really have a lot of German guests on the show. I've probably had just a handful in the past 18 months. So I've got a long list of questions for my next guest, who is an author and proponent of capitalism. His name is Rainer Zeitelmann. Welcome to the Freeman Report, Rainer.
Hi.
So, Rainer, I'm intrigued because I think there's one thing about Germany at the moment. It is going through a lot of change, both in the economy. We've seen those disastrous energy policies, which have really hit prices in what is Europe's industrial base, really, in Germany. But we've also seen, I think I read this morning, I was quite shocked, actually, when I saw the number, 20% of the German population now are immigrants. So huge changes going on in Germany at the moment. So I guess the place to start is what What is the state of the economy at the moment, and what are people in Germany worried about at the moment?
Yes, you mentioned the two topics. First, the economy. The economy is very, very bad now. We have the worst growth rates, or almost a negative growth from all comparable countries in the world right now. And this has reasons. And the other one is migration. You mentioned this also. It wouldn't be a problem if industrious people would come to us from Asia or from other countries who want to work hard. But this is not the case. The majority of people who come to us come from countries. I don't talk now about people from Ukraine. This is another topic. But all the others from Arab countries or from Africa, these are people who have only one knowledge, how to exploit our social system. And, you know, you get a lot of welfare in Germany, much more than you get in the United States. And so this is attractive for a lot of people. And the problem is, if you are a skilled worker, it's not so easy to come to Germany. But if you if you can't nothing, you don't speak the language, you have no skills, you only have to say one word at the frontier that I want to have asyl, and then it takes years and years and years that you can stay here and get a lot of money. And now 60% of the people who get social welfare in Germany have a migration background, 60%. And this is one problem. And the other problem is that we have this crazy energy policy. No, one of the leading parties now in Germany is the Green Party, and they take this topic of climate change as a pretext for restructuring our economy in the direction of a planned economy. But this began much earlier with Angela Merkel, all these developments. This crazy migration policy started in 2015 with Angela Merkel letting 1 million people coming in, open the frontier. And also the craziest thing that we did now, or Brussels did now, but Germany is part of the European Union, to forbid the combustion engines. And yes, this is quite a crazy idea, because we were very proud about our automotive industry, about this Mercedes, BMW, Volkswagen. And I think this never happened before in history that a country voluntarily forbid their most successful product. And this is the car with the combustion engines, and everyone should drive electric vehicles, but there's not the infrastructure. And this is a big problem. So I call it a planned economy. Of course, they don't nationalize everything as the traditional socialists did, but they don't have to. The government tells the companies what to produce, tells the consumers what to buy. And this is what I call the modern form of socialism.
Yeah, all very, very similar to communism. Reina, you rattled through nearly all the questions that I was going to ask you there. Sorry. So I'm going to reverse back a little bit, and let's talk about energy for a bit. Now, obviously, Germany's energy problems, I guess, are kind of self-inflicted, really, aren't they? Because, you know, Germany closed down all the nuclear power stations. I think it was after the Fukushima disaster in Japan. And then really put most of its eggs in one basket, which was the Nord Stream pipelines, which obviously we all know what happened to them. What is the politics in Germany around energy security at the moment? What are politicians saying is the answer to Germany's problems?
The answer is, and I think this is a crazy answer, that we should do everything with sun and with windmills, everything, all this energy. And of course, there's some progress with using the sun, but it's not so sunny in Germany that you can depend only on the sun and on windmills. And what you said, it's the crazy idea was first they say climate change should be our priority. But if you see climate change as a big threat and as a priority, you should have even more nuclear power plants. instead of phase down nuclear power plants. But this is what they did. First, they phased out nuclear power plants. The next, they phased out coal power plants. And then they forbid fracking. Instead of this, they import LNG gas from the United States, what is, of course, good for the United States. But can you imagine how crazy it is to forbid fracking in Germany, but to import fracking gas from the United States? So it's this is typical for socialists, for a planned economy. They believe in their ideology. And even if they see that it harms the economy, and it harms the economy. For example, one of the biggest, I think it was the biggest chemical company in the world, BASF, they go now more to China because they say, first, we have cheaper, much cheaper energy. And the next is we have less bureaucracy there in China. And you know, this is crazy if someone goes to China because he says we have less bureaucracy there than we have in Germany.
I mean, that was going to be my question, really, is what is the impact of all of this? You know, I assume Germany, the German companies are paying more for their energy. What is the impact on the industrial base in Germany at the moment from this?
The impact is that step by step, companies are leaving Germany to go to the United States, to go to China. One company said that they go even to Switzerland, which is a great country, but the labor costs are they are much more expensive than in Germany, and so they go in different direction. Of course, you know, this doesn't happen from one day to the next. Of course, not every company is able to go to other countries and to transfer. So, but this is what happens step by step, that companies are leaving Germany.
Yeah, and what's the social impact of this? Because, you know, Germans, they're watching all of this going on. They've watched the Nord Stream pipelines being blown up. I'm assuming that a lot of Germans must realize that that was not Russia that blew that up or Ukraine. What is the social impact on this at the moment in Germany? Because we hear about the rise of like the AfD at the moment, which is obviously against a lot of these net zero policies and also wants to curb immigration. What is the social change in Germany as a result of all these problems?
If you look at the polls, 75% of people in Germany are unhappy with our chancellor, Olaf Scholz. And I think this is a kind of worldwide record. I even think that Joe Biden in the United States has more sympathy than
that's
Olaf
saying
Scholz.
Something.
Let's say something that Olaf Scholz, our chancellor, has here. So, and the only good thing is that the Green Party, that more and more people see that the Green Party, who had always, you know, great slogans, and people believed, oh, they are good, they want to do something for the environment and so on. And now, in the moment that they are on the government, more and more people see these are absolutely laymen. You know, our state secretary for the economy, his name is Robert Habeck. He understands absolutely zero about the economy. You can see it in a lot of interviews. What did he did before? He wrote books for children. This is his only competence. And someone like him, you know, writing books for children as his only key competence now, he's on this very important position. And you mentioned, yes, of course, in the polls, we see that there are the right-wing party, AfD, is gaining more and more. They have now in the polls something twice as much as with the last elections, something like around 20%, what is a lot. But the problem is that some things, of course, that this party says against this crazy migration sort of make sense. But on the other hand, a lot of people, and I understand this people, and for me it's the same, are very skeptical because they are very much pro-China, pro-Russia, and even now there were some spies from China inside the party. And, you know, this is so I would be happy when we had another party as an alternative, because but it is as it is now in this moment. But people, to answer your question, yeah, the majority is very, very unhappy about this this government right now.
Yeah, and of course we've got the EU elections coming up in a couple of months. When is the next German general election scheduled at the moment?
This is will be next year. It takes time, like 1.5 years. But in June we have the elections for the European Parliament, and this is a kind of test to see what people think. These are the next elections, and then we have three elections in the three East German lands, like Thuringia and Saxony. We have three elections there in the east of Germany, and they will be in September and October. And in all of these three parts of Germany, the AfD is by far the strongest party. They have like 35%. The interesting thing is, in maybe 10 or 15 years ago, the strongest party in East Germany was the former Communist Party. The name in Germany is the left, Die Linke. They were the strongest, but a lot of people moved from this party now to AfD. And in East Germany, they are in a way also anti-capitalist. Now, this is the reason why I don't like them so much, especially in East Germany, because I'm pro-capitalism, and there are a lot of this is the reason why a lot of people moved from the left party now to the far right party, because they have this anti-capitalism in common.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was really excited when you were coming on, because, like I said, I'm aware that there's big changes going on in Germany. And I think, you know, come those big elections coming up in the next couple of years, I think we could see huge political change in Germany. Now, in other countries, France, for example, in Italy, I think the voices that speak out against the European Union are growing at the moment. What's the position in Germany? Because Germany, really, along with France, is the architects of the European Union. Is the general public still supportive of the project?
If you look at the polls, yes. Of course, there's a lot of criticism against the European Union. I have to criticize really a lot. I mentioned some things. They make almost every week new laws, and to forbid this and this and this, and to put it in the direction of a planned economy. But according to the polls, the majority in Germany is still pro-European Union. This is different from other countries because, you know, we depend totally on our export, and this is very important for us, the exports. And so the majority of people is pro-European Union, but this doesn't mean that they like it the way as it is. And, you know, this is a big problem. We had the Brexit when the UK left the European Union. And this should have been a warning signal, because the British people are not stupid. They saw that it's... and then all the politicians in other European countries promised, oh yeah, we understood now, we have to make reforms, but they haven't done it. Everything that I hear week after week is, here we have this new law and this new law. The majority of all these crazy laws are not made today in Germany or in other countries, but they make it in Brussels. And you know, we have there this leading figure in the European Union, Ursula von der Leyen, who was one of the worst politicians we had in Germany. Yes. Now she's there.
Yeah, exactly. Raina, I'm really sad to say we've run out of time because I was really enjoying that conversation. We'll have to get you back on. Where do people, do you have a Substack or do you have a web page where people can go to read your content?
I would prefer that they read my books and you find them all on Amazon or on Barnes & Noble. This is what I prefer.
Fantastic. Raina Zeitzman, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Raina, for coming on the Freeman Report. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, okay, we're going to take a short break now, but we'll be back in a moment for the second hour of the show when I've got Tommy Robinson coming up. So don't go anywhere, stay right where you are, right here on TNT.